Well, all this week we've been reporting on the 10th anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq. Today, a soldier's view, an American who fought in the war and returned to live and teach in Iraq. Andrew Slater is 34. He's from Connecticut. He served three tours as an Army infantry and special forces officer in Iraq. He came to our attention through the Home Fires blog on the New York Times website. We can't recommend it enough. Veterans of the Iraq and Afghan wars writing about their experiences then and now. Today, Andrew Slater teaches English composition to Iraqi students at the American University of Iraq in Soleimani. Andrew also writes fiction. There's a link to some of his work at hereandnow.org as he joins us from Iraq via Skype. Andrew, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And how are you feeling this week?
This is a pretty interesting week because it's the Nowruz Festival, so it's a very happy week.
Nowruz Festival. Remind us what that is.
It's the Persian New Year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the Christmas in Kurdistan. So it's a very festive week. This week was also the 25th anniversary of the Halabja massacre, which is a big event here.
In fact, it's interesting. You are in the Kurdish region of Iraq, and we spoke to a Kurdish woman earlier this week who said that's the anniversary she observes when Saddam Hussein in the 80s gassed the Kurdish people. She does not observe the Iraq war anniversary. Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's been so much that this generation of Iraqis has been through. It's hard to pick out certain dates more than others. But I think up here, particularly, Halabja has really been a defining event for the Kurdish regions. And this is the 25th anniversary, so it was a big commemoration last week.
So what's it like? Are the kids playing in the streets? Or, you know, we hear about the bomb blasts in Baghdad, but we don't hear about life. Or people go sit at cafes. What's it like to be in Iraq?
Iraq is probably better than it's been in a generation, just in terms of people being able to live their lives. I mean, if you go around the Kurdish region, there's malls, there's movie theaters, people are in cafes. Things are pretty open. In the south, from what I hear, it's very different. And I think what's difficult for people is that because of the security condition, people live very cloistered lives. They stay in a lot. They're very careful where they drive to, who they talk to. So that even if there is security, there's a sense that you don't want to
test it.
Yeah, you still have to be careful about how you live your life. You still have to live with fear. And there's too many bad memories to live with your guard down. I mean, I can't even imagine if you're raising a family to have to think about all those security concerns every day. It's better, but it's not relief. It's not a feeling of, it's not like the war's over for them.
Well, and what about you personally? We had Andrew Basevich on this week, the historian who said the Iraq war will be seen as not that important, not as important as the Arab Spring. He lost a son, by the way, to the war. Mm-hmm. And he also sees it as a failure because of the sectarian fighting that's still going on. One of the architects of the war, Paul Wolfowitz, said this week that he admitted mistakes were made in carrying the war out. But as to the invasion itself, the, you know, the idea of having the war, he said history will judge whether it was a success or a failure. What do you say, sitting there in Iraq? What's your sense of whether the war succeeded or failed?
Those are some big names for me to put my opinion next to. But I think people here, when I've asked them this week, it's hard for them to pause and take a breath and think about what the last 10 years means, just because there's so many political problems still going on that they don't see this as something finished to reflect on. And I also think they've been thinking a lot more about what it means for Iraqis, what it says about them, instead of what it says about the U.S. For them, the last 10 years, the Iraqi-on-Iraqi violence has been the thing that's most disturbing to them. And that's what continues. That's the historical legacy that they still see played out every day. So I don't want to give any broad judgments about the future of the war, but I think that it's hard to get a settled opinion about the war in general.
Well, it's funny, too, in your writing, I'm looking at one of your articles, and you write, when the war ended, and there's quotes around the word ended, and you call them scary quotes. Mm-hmm. Because what? Has the war not ended for you? You're back there. Were you compelled to go back there? What's your sense of that?
I think in terms of the war not ending, there's still, I mean, if you look at the car bombs, there's still a ton of violence going on, even if it's not at the levels of 5 years ago. And if you travel around Kurdistan, even though it's secure, it really is a garrison state. You see, if I go from Erbil to Soleimani, I'm going to have my passport checked 6 times. And that the price of peace really has been to put 500,000 Iraqis in uniform. So they don't really see the violence as being something that's ended. And it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. That's why I put scare quotes around ended, because it's still something they talk about day to day. especially the Iraqis that travel to the south, when they talk about Baghdad, it doesn't feel like it's peace yet for them.
Yeah, you say peace without relief.
Yeah.
What about for you? I'm wondering if you saw people killed. I know a part of your job was to recover soldiers who were missing. Why were you compelled to go back?
Well, I think it started to occur to me when a friend was doing an article here for Business Week, and I was sending him some research and some of my thoughts. I was at graduate school at the time, about a year and a half ago, and I realized I wanted to come back, especially because I was writing about it. I was writing about something that I no longer had physical access to, so it felt like if I wanted to do that, I needed to come back. So I was really just looking for a way to do that, and teaching seemed like what I really wanted to do if I came back, so I was just lucky to find good opportunities here. I knew I wanted to come to the north because it's more secure, but I can't put my finger on something exactly. I felt very drawn to come back after graduate school.
Did you see death in Iraq?
I lost a number of friends in Iraq. In 2007, I lost one of my best friends in Baghdad. His name was Ben Tiffner. I saw a lot of death in Baghdad.
Well, again, you're not in Baghdad, you're in the north, but you are in Iraq. I mean, some people would not be drawn back to a place where they saw people die. You were wounded by an IED in Afghanistan. You would be forgiven for saying you wanted to shelve the whole, you know, part of the globe.
When I was in Iraq, I was very close to the Iraqis that I worked with, and you know, I have an aversion to the memories and the experience, not to the people. I don't look on Iraq as a place that I have a natural repulsion for after what I went through. I kind of feel drawn to the people here, and I know even as much as we really suffered during the fighting, I always felt like they had the worst of it. It was always harder for them. You know, they were the ones that had to live in fear probably more than we did, and I don't know. I never felt unwelcome here, as strange as that may sound.
Well, we have to remind people, because it gets so distorted when you hear people talk about it. We weren't supposed to be at war with Iraq. We were supposed to be liberating Iraqis.
Everything that I did here was with Iraqis. It was never us versus them. It was always building the rule of law, building governance, protecting Iraqi neighborhoods with Iraqi security forces. So it never felt like us versus them. It felt like something we were trying to do with them. So it's been kind of easy to come back because of those memories.
Andrew Slater, originally from Connecticut, but then he served three tours as an army officer in the Iraq War, and is speaking to us by Skype from Soleimani in Iraq, where he teaches English composition at the American University of Iraq. You know, we've been reflecting on the war this week, its 10th anniversary of the start. Always welcome your thoughts at hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. More of Andrew's thoughts when we come back here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Andrew Slater, an Army veteran who served three tours in Iraq and two tours in Afghanistan. He was wounded by an IED in Afghanistan, and in fact, he was fighting in Afghanistan when the U.S. invaded Iraq in 2003. His unit was transferred to Iraq soon after. When Andrew left the Army in 2007, he went to graduate school, but then returned to Iraq, where he now lives and teaches at the American University of Iraq in Soleimani. And we wanted to get his thoughts this week as we observe the 10th anniversary of the start of the war. He wrote many of those thoughts on the New York Times blog, Home Fires. It features the writing of veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. So, Andrew, you're now in the autonomous Kurdish part of the country in the north, where people marked another anniversary this week, Saddam Hussein's gassing of the town of Halabja. 5,000 people died. This was in the 1980s. But even now, there's tension between the Kurds and the rest of Iraq. Are you worried the country will balkanize?
No. I think that's kind of an outsider view of things. There was recently a lot of attention around Kirkuk because government forces were moving in, and the Peshmerga were moving in, the Kurdish militia, and it was... I think the Iraqi people are so tired of war, the idea of going through another Civil War is just too much, and I just get a sense of exhaustion that's kind of keeping the violence level down. But also when I talk to Kurds, I don't feel like that they're looking for complete independence, that they do feel a national bond with the rest of Iraq. I think the worst is past, but I think there's going to be political turmoil that's going to trouble Iraq for a long time.
Well, what about the Sunni-Shia divide? As we've been reminding ourselves, they completely flipped. The Sunni minority had been ruling under Saddam Hussein, the majority Shia. Now it's flipped. It's a Shia government. Shia government more closely aligned with Iran. And we see all these bombings, and they are purportedly, sectarian. So, mm-hmm. do you know your sense?
Well, my perceptions from 2006 and 2007, and it really hasn't changed, is that when you look at these bombings and the sectarian violence, that it really is a very small, armed, and desperate minority that's perpetuating them, and that the majority of Iraqis really just want stability and peace. And that even though these things are very high profile and sensational, that they don't reflect general trends towards violence. I think if you look at just the day-to-day functioning of Iraq, it's more indicative of people's investment in the future. I mean, I'm not an analyst. I can't say what's going to happen in the future, but I don't feel like people have any appetite left for more war.
And I just want to you seem to have made clear you're reluctant to sort of put your own stamp on what the past 10 years meant. but try. I mean, from your vantage point, mm-hmm. a fool's errand. I mean, you lost friends to it, so that's hard to say. But,
yeah,
your sense of the Iraq war.
it's really a large question. I think there's a lot of good things that are eventually happening for Iraq now, but it's hard to look back at what happened during those 10 years to think that there anything that was I think there was just too much of a price paid in human life for anything that's come out of it to be worth it. Just too many people died over those 10 years, and it doesn't, even if there's peace and stability now, I don't think you can look at the condition Iraq's in now and say it was worth it. I think those 10 years speak for themselves. And I had trouble making sense of it when it started. Afghanistan was very clear to me. It was very clear to most soldiers. And when I first came in 2004, it was a hard idea. It was hard to figure out exactly what it was our end state was supposed to be. And I think there was a sense in 2006 and 2007 that the war was kind of perpetual. I don't think there's a lot of urgency to a lot of people. People in the military felt like this was kind of going to be going on forever. And then I think it closed up before most of us realized that. I think for Iraq, it's hard to see how some of the memories are going to go away. Just so much violence happened in 2006 and 2007, so much killing in Baghdad, that it's hard for me to imagine people forgetting everything that happened and becoming a completely integrated country again. But I do think that 10 years has left them kind of so exhausted by war that I don't see the violence returning.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say all this, because I'm reading one of the lines again from your blog post. When you were in Afghanistan with other U.S. troops slogging towards whatever the latest assignment was, you were joking about how, the war in Iraq's going to be over before we even get back to Kandahar in Afghanistan, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, we really did have a sense of where things were going in Iraq, and it really came as a surprise 6 months later when our brigade had just got back from Afghanistan, when we were told that we were going to Iraq and the insurgency was really beginning to pick up. I think that's why it was so confusing at the beginning, because it really seemed like something that would be over in a matter of weeks or months. At least that's what we were told. And then at the beginning, I don't think anybody had any idea it was going to wind up being a 10-year or eight-year, eight-and-a-half-year ordeal. Mm. So I think it's strange to look back at the beginning and realize how much we didn't realize and how innocent we were getting into all of it.
Yeah. Andrew Slater, who served three tours as an army officer in the Iraq War, speaking to us from Sulaimani in the Kurdish region of Iraq. He teaches English composition at the American University of Iraq. He is a writer, and you can read part of his fiction at hearnow.org. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also at hearnow.org, you can see all of our coverage of this week's historic anniversary, 10 years on from the start of the war in Iraq. And we want to look ahead. Next week may be historic in a very different way. The Supreme Court hearing two cases involving same-sex marriage. Our guest Emily Bazelon says this is the civil rights issue of a generation. What might the courts do? That's next week. Latest news is next, here and now.